Mayor and Council meeting, July 20th, 2011.
All right, let's rock.
As per requirement of Public Law 1975, Chapter 231, this is hereby given that this is a combined meeting of the Borough of Reynolds and Mayor Council. No requirements have been met. Notice has been transmitted to the Asbury Park Press and the Chamber of Times. Notice has been posted on Public Law. Roll call, Mr. Conley.
Present.
Mr. O'Neill is not present yet. Mr. Francis. Ms. Kane just left the building.
Mike Elvis.
Mayor Dolan.
Here.
Be resolved that the following portion of this meeting dealing with the following generally described matters shall not be open to the public. In the litigation, we have TOMSA, Amos Protection Association, and Two Private Road under contracts, EFC Street, and 226 Navasink Avenue tree removal. Under personnel matters, we have Ray Robinson, DPW staffing, Lane Octopusi, Diane Albator, and Mandy Velasquez. For dispatching, police special officers staffing, and Officer William Armenti. All have been raised. And seasonal office help. Be further resolved that it's anticipated that matters to be considered in public may be disclosed to the public at a later date when the need for privacy no longer exists. And be further resolved that no portion of this meeting shall be electronically recorded unless otherwise stated. Be further resolved that private consideration is deemed required and is permitted because of the following exceptions set forth in the Act 9, 10, and 11. Will someone offer?
I'll offer it.
Offered by Mayor Nolan.
Second.
Second by Mr. Conley. Mr. Conley?
Yes.
Mr. Franzi?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Okay, let me just shut the recorder up.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can you take a roll call?
Please.
Mr. Conley?
Present.
Mr. O'Neill?
Here.
Mr. Francis?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Here.
Mayor Nolan?
Here.
Mayor Nolan, the first item on the agenda is the consent agenda.
We're going to remove R11-158.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to take out R11-176 to talk alone after
okay.
This. Discuss that individually. With that, I'll offer.
You wanted to add Fiore paving?
Yes. As an addition to the supplemental bill list, we want to add Fiore paving. It's payment certificate number 4 for the resurfacing of Woodwich Avenue at $13,727.39.
That's going to be what, R11-178?
That's going to be an add-on to the agenda.
Just in the bills.
Payment bills. You have a change order on there for this project.
With that, I'll offer it.
Offered by Mayor Nolan.
Second.
Second by Mr. Francis. Mr. Conley?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francis?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Motion carries. That brings us to R11-158. Do we want to table this?
Yes.
Offered by Mayor Nolan?
I'll second it.
Second by Ms. Kane. Mr. Conley?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francis?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes, please.
The next item is R11-176, which is the resolution awarding the Highland Avenue project.
Okay. Mr. Franchi, I know you had some questions.
Yes. Talk about, want to make sure that what's included in the alternates.
It's the speed humps that we talked
it's
about.
It's the two speed humps.
Yes. Right. That's the alternate. So if you award the base and the alternate, you're awarding the speed humps with the project.
Right.
Wasn't there an alternate for other roads?
No, not in that one.
Not in that one?
Not in that one. The road program we're working on now has the other roads. Right now, Highland Avenue is just the one. It's Highland Avenue plus the spurs on Miller from Highland to 36 and Valley Highland to 36.
Right. But I thought it was up Valley to Bay.
That's the road program that we're in design with, too.
The only other thing is, I think it was a little bit unclear as to where we were going to locate the speed humps, so I need to make sure we understand that.
Sure.
All right, so if we could have some contact next week, and then we'll just make sure.
Definitely. Right, they're on the plane. I mean, they can be slid one way or the other.
Or not installed.
Or not installed at all.
Or not installed at all. It's up to you guys. You know, that's what the alternate is, the speed humps. So it depends on how you
So when we authorize the contract with the alternate, we could then choose not to install them? Is that what you're saying?
I would think you could. You know, you could decide. You could decide different.
You're just,
I would
cherry picking off
the,
right. What you want.
Well, no. At this point, I don't think that's what they're saying.
Well, if you want, you could award it with or without now.
Correct. All right. And then what?
If you award it with, where you have the speed humps in that alternate, I think it could be your discretion later on to pull them back out.
Or if you award it without, it could be your discretion.
If you award it without, they start out.
That's what I suggest.
Okay. From my point of view, I'll make a recommendation that we award the bid with the alternates. Number one.
Offered by Mr. Francy. That's resolution R.
Wait, can I ask a question before we do that?
Sure.
Okay, so if we authorize it with the amendment, and we do not do it, so then it's going to be a $4,000 difference.
It's a deduct in the contract.
It'll be out the money.
Right. Basically, the contractor won't be paid for because he didn't work. He didn't do the work.
No, I understand that.
And then what happens is it will be a change order to the contract to take
the
money.
To lower.
Right, yes.
And who saves money on that?
You.
Okay, we had a motion on the table by Mr. Francy.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Mayor Nolan. Mr. Connolly?
Abstain.
Mr. O'Neill?
No. Not with the in on it.
Mr. Francy?
Yes.
Ms. Keene?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
She goes. The next item on the agenda on for introduction and setting of a public hearing date for August 17th is ordinance number 0-11-17, an ordinance amending Chapter 8-2.3, excavations in the public streets, denial of permit, appeal of the revised general ordinance of the Borough of Highlands. Someone like to offer the introduction?
That's extended the moratorium, correct?
Yes, I think you requested that last meeting.
I'll offer that.
Offered by Mr. O'Neill?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Mayor Nolan. Mr. Connolly?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francy?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Motion carries. Moving on to committee reports, the first item is finance.
Yep, I have several things. First of which, we don't have a meeting again until August 17th. I'm requesting permission to run an interim bill list sometime around the beginning of August because we only have that one meeting per month.
And copy all of us, obviously.
Yep. Well, you get copied in the, like in this regular meeting, mm-hmm. Then you copied it again.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all right with everyone?
I'm okay with that.
Okay. All right. Next, I want to report on the financial condition of the borough. I've basically completed the annual financial statement and want to give you a couple of the highlights. I won't get into a lot of detail, but there are some specific things I'd like to discuss, bring to your attention. We closed the year with a cash surplus of $651,608. It's down $330,000 from the prior year. It's down $589,000 from 2009. Our collection of percentage, and I'll give these terms from 2008 just so you can see there's a little bit of difference. 2008, we were 96.5. This is percentage collection on current taxes. We were 96.5 in 2008, 96.79 in 2009, 96.64 in 2010, and 95.95 in 2011. The big problem that surfaced in 2011 was the tax appeals. And when I read these numbers off, you'll understand part of what's happening. Tax appeals are shown as taxes canceled. When somebody wins an appeal and you have to give back the taxes, you have to cancel that balance. In 2008, we canceled 30, and I'll use round figures. Let me round it up, make it a little easier. We canceled 33,000. In 2009, we canceled 16,000. In 2010, when it really started, we canceled 52,000. And in 2011, we canceled 156,000. So there's a big difference in different ways. But the percentage of taxes, delinquent taxes collected, in 2008, we did 95.78. 2009, we did 95.38. In 2010, we did 94.71. And in 2011, we did 94.03. Now, overall, given the state of the economy, both the percentage of taxes collected currently and delinquent are not that bad, considering where the economy is at this point in time. But you can see it started in 2008. 2010 to hit us. I think more than any other year in 2011, we're really feeling it. The unemployment bill for the second quarter of 2011 was $57,000. That is a huge number considering in the past our quarterly charges have been about $2,000, $3,000. So these numbers are really jumping way up. Obviously, it has to do with the layoffs that we had. Not all at the ones that we had right at the 12/31, the administrator, all these things factor into it. And that's my report on the financial statement. The sewer has somewhat stabilized. And as far as the sewer budget looks going forward, it still really depends on whatever we get charged from the sewage authority. But we have stabilized. We have collected more than we anticipated, which was the goal. We have built some surplus. So hopefully, if their budget stays within reason, their charges to us stay within reason, we should be in good shape going forward this year.
And the reduction in the sewer from the 140 back down to the 120 is going to happen on schedule?
That should happen. That's in the ordinance. That's a function that has to happen automatically.
Very good.
Okay.
Is that it for finance, Steve, right
yes,
now?
Yes, that's it.
You want to add anything? Yes. Okay. Next up is DPW. Can you take a minute on that, please?
Yeah, I'll do a quick report, if you would. Pass those along as well. Basically, working with the Department of Public Works, we have three full-time employees and two seasonals that were hired to help us get along with what we're doing. They've been keeping up with a lot of the grass cutting. We have great growing season, if you believe in that. But therefore, grass grows in public areas just as high as it does in the yard. The guys are really out there trying to keep up with a lot of that. Jones's Creek was another item that we've been working on, disposed of debris that came down from the last storm. They've been finished picking up brush and leaves. We did do a bulk pickup in June, and we also continue to do bulk pickup by permit. So if anyone does miss bulk pickup, they can call the borough hall, come down and get a permit, and we will allow that as well. Other than that, they're continuing to cut a lot of grass. I understand that. Equipment needs, we've replaced a couple pieces that they had that were in need of repair. And other than that, that's it on that end.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. Public safety, are the chief words here?
Public safety, as a general budget here, I want to stress the importance replacing two patrol vehicles that are now 6 years old. Both have over 110,000 miles on them. I do have the bar mechanic coming up with a list of repairs that were made in the last 6 months. It's almost coming up with a monetary value list. So I don't want to set the back burner. I want to bring it up, make sure we keep an eye on that. Secondly, we recently received two separate checks for $7,200 in forfeiture funds from the Monmouth County Prosecutor's Office. These funds are proceeds of confiscated property, specifically two different cars, from narcotics cases investigated by the police department. And third, the Highlands Explorer Post sponsored a trip to the Gateway National Recreation Area. They also received first aid training, and they are currently engaged in fundraising in a raffle. Raise funds for purchase of equipment and trips for their participants. Responded to 665 calls, arrested 35 people, and arrested 141 traffic tickets.
Thank you, Chief.
I have a question.
Go ahead, sir.
There were a spate of noise complaints at Wind and Sea, Joe, and I was asked, have you issued any summonses against the facility, and where are we on that?
We have, since January, we've received five noise complaints down there, three of which were called in by a resident, two of which were a card was hit by an officer.
I'm sorry?
Two of the complaints came from the officer who was on duty. They just pled guilty to a noise complaint last week. paid a fine. We had 5 complaints since January. We know it is a problem. Recently, with all the other calls that have been down there, as of 2 weeks ago, we're now, the restaurant is paying for an officer to be in the area, on the corner specifically, of Shrewsbury there, to help quell that. I mean, overall, since January, we've had about 63 calls down there.
63?
Yes. Most of which were initiated by officers. Out of that, like I said, out of the 63, I believe it is, about 15 were called in by people who lived there. The rest were officer-initiated calls. We've arrested 11 people down there, not at Windham 6, at Windham C, at the corner of Shrewsbury North, Shrewsbury Cornwall, and so forth. We've issued 25 bar ordinances down there since January, and that's about where we are now, the breakdown of that. Because as far as the noise goes, we've had 5 complaints, 3 by residents, and we wrote them for one of those, and just pled guilty to the one.
The other complaint is that they're closing the bar and walking out with drinks.
Yes. We've issued a lot of bar ordinances for that. A lot. The biggest problem with that is we can't prove that they actually walk out of the bar with them. That's the problem we're having. Unless they have an officer at the door, which is still, we can't really do.
The fact that they're standing on Shrewsbury with a bottle of beer, you can't say
they came out from the restaurant.
No, it could be coming from a Manila Cafe, it could be coming from Wednesday, it could
the car.
Be
but they still
from the marina, from the car.
Right house.
They still could get something for opening here.
Oh, yeah. Like
the people are.
Yeah, we've written 25 bar ordinances for underage drinking, for urinating in public, for having open alcohol, and so forth.
Joe, I don't know if you have the data in front. Is this mostly Saturday night?
It's mostly weekends.
Friday or Saturday, even Sunday in the summer, I imagine?
Yes, it's mostly weekends.
And can't you just ask them to sit to a bouncer at the door and say, don't let me walk out the door?
Well, like I said, we did speak to Mr. Shields. He did hire somebody 2 weeks ago. We have an officer on a corner of Cornwall and Shrewsbury.
If that doesn't stop the problem,
not the people getting out. Apparently, we did have a little issue the other night that we're dealing with some underage drinking, from what I understand from Sergeant Burton. As a result of that, they did fire 3 bouncers that night. So, we are working on it.
It's too early to tell if the other officer down there in the last 2 weeks has had any impact, obviously.
He started. Actually, the actual increase in calls, the calls may increase. Like I said, a large percentage of the calls are officer-initiated. And we saw them...
What would be a typical reason an officer down there would call? Backup? What would be a typical reason an officer would call from down there? Like backup?
No. I'm saying what happens is if an officer's down there, we've been putting resources towards that area. If an officer down there, if he sees somebody being disorderly or fighting or urinating or walking down the street with a bar, he would initiate the call.
Okay.
That's why we called in a large majority of the calls there.
Is it... we're focused on Windham C, but are they the largest problem area?
Well, like I said...
Displacing the Claddock, for example?
Well, we only have so many resources, so...
No, I understand.
Yeah. It could be. I mean, now that we have the officer down there on Saturday nights, it is releasing an officer from us being proactive and putting him there. Right. So it is gonna help.
I mean, Clatter made. We had Clatter. We put conditions on his license with two bounces.
Bounces, yes.
At one point, it was 2. Yeah.
We didn't do that for Windham C.
Windham C typically has bouncers. The issue may be the bouncers themselves. Like I said, I've heard and talked to Mr. Shields. Apparently, after the other night, they fired 3 of them. But the issue may be, it is just the bouncers, because they're walking. If they are all coming from Windham C,
they're letting them come out
past bouncers. So I did speak to Mr. Shields about that, and there we'll see what happens. I don't have a breakdown of exactly when these happened, if they're all recently or not.
Would you be able to keep us updated in the next couple of weeks, like via email? I know we don't have meetings, just to see how that impact is of the officer down there, so we know that maybe it's got a handle on it with the person being there. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
If you don't mind.
Also, do they have the bouncers inside and outside? I know they're inside collecting the cover to come in, but I don't know that there's nobody down by the tiki bar.
I don't know if
they
rotate or something like that.
That, no, they don't.
I mean, they could just be walking out from the tiki bar.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have that parking lot when they're getting out.
Right.
They're inside. If they're in the back lot, I would have to ask the midnight show. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chief. Parks and Rec. Tim?
Very quickly, the Summer Kid Fest program has 144 children enrolled. We also have our daily program with the summer nutrition component. Activities vary, games, arts and crafts, special events, basketball hot shots, sand art contests, frisbees, pool tournaments that keep the kids going all day long. It's a credit to the staff that's down there. Summer Kids Connection is our afternoon drop-in portion of that program. We have 35 children enrolled who come back later in the afternoon. That's 35 less folks that Chief's chasing around, we hope.
Yeah, but my children are there.
In the afternoons? Okay. Going on to beaches, beach cleaning is started on a weekly basis. The beach activity, we do an approximate count during the weekends and during the weekdays, so including the July 4th weekend, Snug Harbor Beach had close to 200 people on weekends, but there again, that was going through the July 4th weekend. Weekday, it's been about 78. We've noticed, so this week with the real hot weather, those numbers just bottomed out, really, because when it gets too hot, you would think everybody's flocking to the beach. Not really, it's too stifling out there.
Yeah.
Miller Street, I'm sorry?
Sands do have to walk on.
Yeah, it's just...
The air quality
situation. Miller Street was averaging 70 for the weekend and 35 weekday visitors. Those numbers, too, have started to tail off based on the hot weather. Coastal monitoring reports for the beaches. We only had one incident back in June. It was a one-day incident where the elevated levels were 460 with the approved levels of 100, but they retested the next day. It was right back down to less than 10 parts, and everything was fine. So we've only had one incident. Again, I remind the public, if you ever want to look at the whole coastal monitoring reports for the DEP, you can check every swimming bathing beach in any county by just going on the NJDEP site. Gives you an idea of what's happening around the state, too. Choose Your Cover cancer screening program was held in late June. I don't have the numbers of participants. I wasn't able to attend that event that day. We also had the Senior Citizen Calendar Party late June, and the annual Senior Citizen Picnic was held on June 30th. A couple of programs that we have ongoing, but we are doing the Farmers Market Voucher Program for seniors. We had 41 register for that program. That enables eligible seniors to get $20 in farmer market vouchers that they can use anywhere. Most of them do participate at our local farmers market. We still have vouchers available for eligible participants. They can call, make an appointment, and we can still register. If we run out, the county has told us that they have a waiting list, and we all work with our share of resources on that. Lastly, Movie on the Beach. Kung Fu Panda was held July 15th. Over 100 people. Mosquitoes were out in droves too, but we don't count them with the clicker. But pretty good night, a lot of activity.
And that was a rain date, so.
Yeah, that was the rain date, the initial date. We finally called one right. We had thunder and rain that night, because generally when I cancel an event, it turns out to be a nice night, but it went out without a hitch. And that's it at this point, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hill.
You're welcome.
Next up is HPP, Carla.
Marketing and Events Committee, the HPP is going to go on Newsmakers August 3rd to plug the fall events. We'll also be talking about the Memorial Project. The HPP will be celebrating the 10th annual Twin Lights Drive. We'll be meeting with Mr. Hill on July 25th for set that up. HPP facilitated a preliminary resource meeting for the installation of the Memorial Project. Andrew Stockton of Civil Engineering will be donating the surveying and engineering services. Billy Black of Kudos Construction will donate excavation. Frank Wayne will be donating landscaping and possibly irrigation. We're still soliciting a concrete donor. At this time, we don't have one. Anyone wishing to donate to the Economic Development Committee gave our formal presentation before the Planning Board on their July 15th meeting. The report is available on the HVP 2011 meeting archive, and you can also hear the Planning Board meeting presentation on under the Borough's Planning Board section. The farmers market's in full swing and we're full. We have a full line of organic produce. The market's every Saturday at 9 a.m. The rye vendor, we're preparing for the plant fest, and the rye vendor pulls out, who's going to be going out of business. We tried to find rides. So we're going to be having rides for ages up to 14. We will have some mechanical rides, some blow-up rides, but there'll be only a couple for adults. On Thursday, June 30th, the Highlands business community donated to the PTAC 25th anniversary celebration. Bars, Chilango's certified clam, Francesco's, Grimaldi's, Lusty Lobster, and the original oyster graciously donated a taste of Highlands for the citizens at PTAC. Additional sponsors were KR1 for the band and Super Food Town. Other Highlands merchants that donated gift baskets were Classic Boat Rides, Endless Treasures, Shore Graphics, Seascape Manor, Breakfast, Valley National Bank, In the Garden, and William Kayaza donated salads. A great time was had by all. Councilwoman Rebecca Kane and HVP did a tremendous job organizing and working the event. Thank you to everyone. We're patiently waiting for the irrigation to be installed at Miller Hill, the water project with Frank Rain and Huff Maple Tree, and the DOT put up the new Wayfair poles, so we're going to be installing all the new Wayfair signs summarized. We're in the process of finishing that within the next week. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Public relations. Okay, thank you, Ms. Kane. Environmental Shade Tree, Mr. Branson, is that anything?
The Environmental Commission has been meeting weekly with Exxon and Rue Associates, who are doing implementing an interim remedial action on the Bayside SEEP. They're doing a fairly significant piece of work, which should be completed in about 2 or 3 weeks. Which has the goal of eliminating the odors that the residents are experiencing. And we had a meeting this morning, that's Kevin, Steve Suzuki, and myself. We meet weekly up there, and Exxon is doing what they said, Rue's, you know, with Rue's plan. So we're optimistic that will get some degree of relief for the residents at that particular point.
I think you mentioned it's a multi-year.
Oh, yes.
Was it a 10-year plan, was it, I believe?
Well, sorry?
At least 10 to 15-year plan.
Well, I mean, this interim plan is to control the odor while they attack the source of the contamination at the gas station, which is a 10-year project at the minimum.
Okay.
All right. The work up at the gas station is going slower because at this point the negotiations with Quick Check and the hot dog place and the Rue or Exxon are kind of getting bogged down. So we're not sure where that's going to settle out.
Okay. Mr. Connolly, want to add anything? No, it's good. Okay. Sewer Authority? I know Mr. O'Neill sits on. Anything new there? Right there. Okay. Chris, did you want to add something? I know you're at the meeting.
Yes, the Sewer Authority has reached a tentative agreement with the TOMSA on their suit that should be resolved, and there should be minimal impact. That is, the Sewer Authority has been accruing monies that they felt that we didn't owe TOMSA, and the judgment will be settled within the monies that are in reserve. And from Highland's point of view, that we've received, Thompson will entertain directing Highland's force main down Butternut Valley to the Stone Church and Sears Avenue, and once that work is completed by the sewer authority, at this point, we will be able to Atlantic Highlands and Highlands will be able to dissolve the sewer authority and go separate ways, because at this point, both towns want that.
Which, putting the ordinances out there at both towns, is the reason this came so fast.
Correct.
Now, going down to Buttermilk, won't that also give us more capacity?
We can't say that word.
But in theory.
In theory, well, the reality is...
The yearbook answer is can't say it, but the reality, yes.
Because that would require a new permit. Right?
Correct.
We're putting in, instead of the 8-inch pipe, we're putting in the 10-inch pipe, and clearly that will handle more. The biggest point from our point of view is that we're no longer going to be pumping 3.5 miles down to Atlantic Highlands. Our pump pressures will drop by 100 PSI. Our pump electricity costs will drop a significant amount. And down the road, we'll be able to get away from the progressive cavity pumps that we have now, because they are required to generate those high pressures. We'll get down to centrifugal pumps, which every other pump station in the world has, and they're much less maintenance, with much less maintenance requirements. You're working towards a sewer pump that's manned on a part-time basis, 3 hours a day, every other day.
And in my
mind, it
increases capacity tremendously. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Administration, including substandard housing.
A couple of things were already covered with the Memorial Project, Bayside Drive. One item I want to bring to attention, we did respond to the memo from the DOT to do a walkthrough on the bridge project. We did notify DOT of the concerns that we saw. They did respond. Some things are still, quote unquote, negotiable. We are making headway on the flagpole.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask
about that. We spoke directly to Pankaj Patel, and he's willing to take another look at that for us. So you have that item in front of you. Also, we've been approached by the Girl Scouts about doing a Gold Star project, perhaps to the rehab and repair of the Huddy Park gazebo. They'd like to make a presentation to the governing body in August. The young lady's going for a Gold Star project.
We've got something in our packets on that, right? Or you sent an email?
I believe there was an email sent. So we're going to follow up with that. Community center feed facility use agreement. What I've done is we created more of an agreement as well, instead of just the facility request form, that'll incorporate the feed policy and everything that goes along with it. I've given that to Mr. Halfacre to review and see if we're in good shape with it, and that's what we'd like to implement so that we can get up and running with that. Without having that piece in play, it kind of puts, you know, in a little bit of a quandary. So we worked hard at getting that together. It's another 5 or 6 page document, but it'll work well. Fire hydrant was relocated. I want to let everybody know, up on Portland Road, there was a request by the fire department to relocate a fire hydrant with New Jersey American in the new DOT right-of-way. DOT kind of allowed us to do it, and that fire hydrant has been relocated as per the request. We do have a request in, too, and it was a verbal about the potential of planting a memorial tree. Louise Parker is the woman's name. Her son died tragically last year in a parkway accident. Local resident, and we want to further discuss that when we get the details.
Okay.
Two other things. The borough was recognized at the Mon County Board of Freeholders meeting for the completion of our open space project, which at that point was the community center park parcel, and that was recognized last Thursday at the Board of Freeholders meeting. Last thing on the list here, Fusion Field, the nonprofit organization, has been formulated, would like to request, knowing that the borough's resources are stretched thin and there's a lot going on, that they entertain a contract with a private contractor to cut and maintain the Fusion Field during the growing season. We'd like to have the field cut, the memorial monument area also maintained, and also cut the hill on 36 at least twice a month. I would advocate that we should entertain that. I think it's a good idea if the foundation's willing to pitch in and help get that done, and it would certainly alleviate some of our problems.
Our seasonal guys can't do it?
I'm sorry?
Our guys can't do it?
Our guys have been doing it. They've been getting to it. The hillside, I don't think they've ever maintained the monument area.
Right.
The hillside becomes an issue because of the way it's sloped down.
Sure.
There again, it was an approach that the Fusion Foundation made to us as a goodwill gesture. They think it's something that they'd like to take on.
Can you come back to us, email dollars and cents, and, you know, Becky, yeah, and come back with dollars and cents?
We're not asking you to pay for it.
We're not asking you to pay. They want
it. We don't got to pay a dime?
No, we're offering.
We don't have to pay a dime.
I thought you wanted us to go 50-50.
We're just letting you know that,
100% from the foundation.
Sounds good.
That we're going to enter into a contract to do that.
Just, you know, keep us all abreast via email.
Absolutely.
Please.
And also, speaking of that, to keep those things going, the fundraiser is August 20th.
Where is it?
The Shore Casino, it's $45 per person. There's information in everybody's packet.
Perfect.
Last part of my report, Mayor, is the open space, Monmouth County Open Space Grant. If we are intending to apply, the application deadline is September 21st, 2011. We do have time to put something together and review it. I'd like to sit with...
We only have two meetings, basically, before that, right?
But the resolution part of it, we're in good shape, and if we have to do a public hearing, we can definitely have that done before...
You and Ms. Kane sort that out and come back to
sure.
us?
Sure. And I'd like input from the governing body as well.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Thank
Maybe
you.
Get something before the next meeting if you can, yeah. An idea?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I have a question for the administration.
Sure.
Yes.
Relative to the landscaping efforts on Cabooseum, all right, we're going to have the same issue with the sides of the bridge, the Route 36 bridge. DOT's response to taking care of the landscaping, it'll be by schedule and resources. It's DOT's responsibility, but they'll take care of it by when resources and schedule are available, which means maybe once a summer. And I don't know if we're going to be happy with the end result unless we add that to our landscaping.
When you say add it to our land, add it to our
grass cutting,
regular,
our grass cutting.
Once we take that on, we own it.
Forever.
Well, and that's the discussion.
Okay.
DOT, DOT is their responsibility, but they're not going to do it.
I understand.
You know me. Like we talked several times. This is a gateway to our town. We want it to look right.
We will.
We can't get bogged down in red tape. You know what I mean?
With the equipment we have and the manpower we have, let's put it in the plan.
And I guess I'm asking not that we should do it, but we should, at this point, have a plan for somehow getting it done. It might be more than we might not have the equipment. For that size, for that low degree of slope. I mean, I don't know the answer, but at this point, let's not...
Wait for them.
Yes, we'll get through this summer, maybe, because they won't want to.
Right.
Any kind of plantings you consider that would not be taken care of? What kind of plantings, what kind of... we can put there besides...
That's another part of the project, too.
Okay. Well, we'll put it into our schedule. If we see that it's, and we know
right.
with some issues coming up or some events coming up,
right.
see what we can do.
What we'd be doing is authorizing you to handle it without having to come to the table,
yeah.
basically.
And I'm not going to pull the OT.
Thank you, sir. Library Committee, Ms. Ryan?
Yes, Mayor, thank you. You've all received my written report. I'll just mention a few items. The library is still growing slowly but surely. We have had several dozen new members in the past few months. We are having a book sale. All of our items are donated. So some of our volunteers now go to the farmer's market. Paula helped us set this up, thank you very much. And they're there each Saturday selling just duplicate materials, which is great because it's an outreach to the community as well as raising a little bit of money. And also, a summer resident, Christine Reinhoff, took it upon herself to raise money from her Gravelly Point neighborhood. And she raised enough money to buy all the books we need for the Highlands Elementary School and Henry Hudson reading program for the summer, which is just wonderful. She went out and did it. So I want to thank everybody involved in that who donated and coordinated. And please tell all your friends and neighbors, we have the books. Okay? So please come down and get the books while they're available before the end of the summer. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ryan. Other business?
Engineer's status report.
Thank you. The Monmouthville Sanitary Sewer Flow Metering, we completed the metering analysis and provided the information to the borough for the review and discussion. The flood reduction program, we received the permit from the Army Corps of Engineers. We've been responding to the DEP's questions and expect the land use permits shortly. And we submitted for the tilings license. Waterwich Avenue, the project construction is complete, and we're going to be coordinating the final inspection by DOT. The 2011 road program, the project design is ongoing. the Highland Avenue reconstruction we discussed this evening, and it was awarded. And then lastly, the Bay Avenue reconstruction. The plans are being reviewed by DOT. We did receive an extension from DOT through October to allow the other part of the funding through community development for those funds to be put in place. And that's my report tonight.
Thank you, sir.
Just a one follow-up on the Highland Avenue project. That is, it's within the DOT grant, it looks like, completely.
Mm-hmm. DOT grant, I think, was 115 up?
1184.
Okay.
1184.
Yeah, it probably is. Or close.
So, nice job.
Thank you, guys. Dale, you have anything to add?
No, right? No, the only thing, just if I could, just to give you a heads up on the Waterwitch change order you approved tonight. That was a DDOT change order. That actually reduced the project by a cost of $7,000.
Perfect. Thank you, sir. Highlands Garden Club? Well, let me ask you, didn't we just give them a donation?
We did. What they're asking for in this letter, they're asking us to budget for another donation in our 2012 budget. That's how I read it.
So they want us to plan to do the same thing next year we did
this year? For this budget that we're working on.
Okay.
So if they're asking for
it's already in there? Yeah. Thank you. Could even help set a bridge. It's already in there.
Okay.
You can, I guess, send them correspondence, email,
well,
letter, whatever
well,
it is.
Yeah.
Cat license ordinance?
Mr. Francis.
At this point, I'd like to table that for the time being. At this point, we have two air cat IDing events happening.
Microchipping.
Microchipping. So we have to get information out on that. So.
In the meantime, I'm still holding up on the billing, correct? Which was due in July.
I'm sorry?
In the meantime, am I
yes.
holding off on the billing?
Yes. For the current license.
Yes. So we'll table this for the next meeting?
Yeah.
Next item is a letter from residents regarding the CAT TNR program. We received a letter from residents from 4th Street, Miller Street, and Valley Street.
Anybody want to discuss anything in the letters?
Refrain from identifying
names.
Names and property addresses
right.
that discussed in the letter.
It's going to come up the public forum anyway.
Sweet. I mean, I'd be willing to talk about it. It's kind of hanging back, but somebody else wanted to.
Just don't mention names and.
Yeah.
Well, what I would suggest, Mayor and Council, is that perhaps the letter should be referred to the program administrator, because they're the ones who are going to be making decisions about who is.
I guess that wasn't good. Yes, that's clear. That's what we intend to do about the specific requests. Right. But there are concerns within that letter that I think are open enough that we should talk.
We have a problem. Can we address them, Mike, or is it okay?
Well, you can address them. You can refer them to the animal control officer in general or code enforcement in general.
Okay. Does anybody want to speak on it tonight?
I have no problem speaking
Just
on it.
Just don't make it specific to people and, you know.
Yeah. And this is a letter from a resident in town. It's generic from the owner's residence of 4th Street, Miller Street, and Valley Street. All right. It lists 8-9 reasons why they would like us to do something in terms of specifically. I mean, this whole TNR program is based on setting up colony managers within who are currently feeding cats to get them trained how to feed it correctly, and to have an ID program so that they would catch cats, ID them, tip their ears, so at this point that we know they've been spayed. And at this point, this program has worked in other areas. It's not a new program, but the end result is that if you spay and neuter a cat, all right, the cat doesn't make any more cats, and they end the problem that's due to the volume of cats goes away with time. And so this petition, all right, is basically asking the council to consider these conditions. Cats go under our house and spray the repulsive odor, blah, blah, blah. The heavy cat activity on my property is extremely unhealthy for people who are disabled. right? My designer lawn furniture has been destroyed by a stray and feral cats. Cats digging on garbage cans at night. Why would people want to move to Highlands now that these feral cat colonies are enabling cats to crawl, crap, and spray all over the place? I'm tired of not being able to keep my truck and car windows open because the cats go in and crap and pee all over. I'm tired of being awakened at 2 in the morning with cats fighting night after night outside my bedroom window. For years I've been trying to maintain a well-manicured lawn, however the cats are constantly crapping in my yard. These are all behaviors of feral cats. When the cats get spayed and neutered, they tend to lose these behaviors. I mean, that's the whole goal of this program, all right? If they don't have the urge to procreate, they're not going to be crapping around, they're not going to be spraying all over the place, or actually cutting out the equipment that allows them to spray. All right, so the key part of this is that we will be reducing the number of cats in town. And at this point, being spayed and neutered, they won't be reproducing. This program is a cost benefit to the town, all right? It costs us $130 to euthanize cats, all right? And there's a significant limitation on how many we can bring to these euthanizing facilities, all right? We're going to get them spayed and neutered for $45, all right? And then they're going to get reintroduced to where they were, and they're going to be less aggressive, and we're going to end up with the problem that will disappear with time. We had a meeting for prospective colony managers 2 weeks ago? A week ago?
2 weeks.
2 weeks ago. We had 30 people come out. We had 14 people sign up to get trained and to learn how to do what the ASPC wants to do. I'm thrilled by the response. Typically, I thought we were going to have to appoint. Linda, you're a cat colony manager. I could tell that right away.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't have to do that, all right? And at this point, I have high hopes that, you know, 3 years from now, we won't have the problem. But the key is we'll have fewer and fewer feral cats, and a feral cat that is spayed and neutered won't have these activities. So what we've been doing for the past 10, 15 years hasn't worked. In 3 or 4 years, we're going to have something different, and it will be working. So this petition asks us to do certain things that we're going to pass it on to the ASPCA, and they're going to take it under advisement. And that's going to be our response to this petition. So, thank you for the time.
Anybody else have any?
Yeah, I would say something. I think there is a difference of opinion in studies over this is going to work. And people have a right to, I'm not confident it's going to work. And nowhere do I see it, does it change the behavior of feral cats as far as the regression. Just by coincidence, they killed my children's rabbit this past month. Chewed it up, killed it. Feral cats were hanging out in my yard. And neutering is not going to change that behavior. It has nothing to do with their aggression or their attacks on small wildlife. And as you know, I voted against it, and I'm still not sure this is a great plan. Okay. You say it's going to work in 3 years? We'll see.
Anybody else have any comments?
The petition just asked that it be banned at certain areas.
Yes. All. Yes, it does.
I can understand that if you were next to one of those numbers.
Yeah, once that 13 cats being taken care of in the next year, they're not going to be, that's my building. Someone's doing that building, apartment building next to me, because I know they are. They're not going to be staying in that parking lot. They're going to be still in my yard.
But the issue right now, Kevin, is that's what's happening now. There are 13 and growing exponentially.
And now we're going to, now we're going to
sanction
it. There you go. Go ahead. Feed the 13. Have fun.
Now they're not going to grow.
According to the theory, they're not going to grow. I don't know where. You said this plan is working. That evidence really was not put forth. No towns were presented to us as having a great result as so far. None.
That hasn't happened. They didn't say Seabed's having a great result. They said they're doing it. But I heard nowhere where they came to say, wow, this worked in our town. It worked great. Okay. I just say, they have a right to express their opinion.
Okay, that's fine.
I just question if whether once the word that there's feeding areas, the people drop their cats off there? I don't know. But if that's the case, that's a problem if you're a neighbor. I don't know. I'm up in the air about it. I'm just, you know.
I think that's the problem. I think a lot of us are up in the air about it.
Consider
we realize what's happening now isn't working.
Right.
And we're trying to do something to try to curtail it. It's not going to be a 1 year or 2 year fix. I think it's more 3 to 5 years. But I know what we're doing now hasn't worked in the last, 15. So
that's true. Thank you, Ms. Banner.
No problem.
The next item is the building department fee ordinance amendments.
We talked about this once, right?
We have. The council opted not to go forward with it. The construction official is asking that you please reconsider.
So they want to, right now we're having a bad economy, nobody's building, nobody's doing anything, you want to raise the fees to do that. Okay, I'm going to vote no. This is my vote.
No one supports that.
I do. I support it myself. You know, it's an adjustment of the prices and they're not very high. And it's a way to bring in money that nobody's building, the money just doesn't come in. You know, but it's not asking a whole lot. It's been reviewed and put a lot of time and effort into it, and I think,
I'm going to minimize it and, make the guy
go with it.
I just.
But if you want to put it off discussion, we should have something in plan if things do bust loose, like we're all hoping and anticipating.
I think it's something we maybe revisit in the new year. Because nothing's going to happen in 4 months, 5 months.
He's given us a fully formed ordinance, Rick, to consider. So at the point in time that we decide we want to do that, we can very quickly implement it.
Yeah, exactly. It's more something you might want to review in the new year with anticipation of the other things we got going on.
And
at some point landing.
You know, I don't want Mr. Mercado, Mr. Vitale to be
disenchanted.
Yes. We need to make sure we thank him for his.
No question.
He's here Thursday nights. We can go and do that.
We can come down and thank him tomorrow?
Yeah, we will.
If I may, he also did state that the rates that he's suggesting are still below the state rates.
I understand. We got to just say, in my mind, you got nothing happening right now, and to add more to it is just, an exercise in futility. That's just my opinion. I agree.
Okay, the next item is we received a letter from Ed Perillis requesting a speed limit posting on Twin Lakes Terrace.
Chief, you want to weigh in on this? I know they're requesting a 10-mile-an-hour speed limit, I believe it was.
I just got this today. I'm not aware of any problems with traffic on that road. It is very narrow. It is very, very tight.
You think maybe by the next meeting you can weigh in on us? Let us know what you think.
I could. I mean basically, I know we have had no complaints up there at all. The street's very, very narrow.
What's the speed limit now, 25?
Yes, changing to 10 miles an hour really would be window dressing.
Okay.
You cannot go 10 miles an hour.
I thought that there had to be a minimum, correct? Isn't there a minimum?
Well, theoretically we could, but we can't run railroad. There's no way. I mean, you can barely fit a car on that road at all. It would be.
That's because there's a boat sitting in that street for the past 10 years.
Whose boat?
I was dressed today, as a matter of fact.
Was it?
In anticipation of this conversation.
Man, the letter got something done.
Good God.
I mean, if
send a letter to the guy, we're not going to change the speed limit, but we're getting the boat moved.
Yeah. I mean, changing 10 miles an hour, like I said, would be a good gesture, but I think really.
Mr. Prillis, are you here, sir? You want to weigh in on it, please, sir?
Yeah, well, there's two streets that have the 10 miles an hour, and they're very similar to my street. That's Bay Street. It's got the children playing 10 miles an hour. The line of sight is pretty much better on Bay Street than it is on Twin Lake Terrace.
Absolutely.
One reason that I've been here for 33 years, actually, but the reason that I'm bringing it up now, there's a couple more kids on the block. The FedEx truck is, maybe it's just him, I don't know, but he zips along pretty good. And you can't do more than 10 miles an hour, or you will kill somebody. It's narrower than any other street up there. The main thing now that I'm noticing is that there's a lot of people that are relying on GPS and they think they're somewhere else. And when they don't, wind up either Henry Hudson, Hartshorne, the Lighthouse, they're on my street, and they come to an abrupt halt. It's a dog leg right turn. It's not like you just keep going. It's somebody's driveway, then it's runaway, and a dog leg to the right at a good angle.
You got to cut it hard.
So it's starting to get worse now because of the, I think it's, people get lost, and I ask them, I say, where do you think you are? You know, it's GPS, telling them I'm at the high school, Hudson, you know, Archhorn, it's getting more and more. It's just picking up now. That's the reason I'm saying. And there actually is a handicap. I mean, this is an aside as far as the ease of which 10-mile-an-hour sign can be put up. There's a handicap, a spot that is now vacated. There's a post in the ground that says handicap that's no longer being used. Just take the sign off, put a 10-mile-an-hour sign up there. And I mean, you have 35-mile-an-hour signs on 35, on the 36. 50 is the norm on 36. And everybody knows 50 on 36. So I know that it's not going to be a radar situation or anything like that. I'm just saying it's getting more and more where people are zipping up. If they see the 10, it's not, you know, I'm not looking for anybody to get a ticket. It's just
you don't want them to speed. Yeah,
they'll say, hey, 10 miles, slow down.
Can't hurt.
Exactly.
What do you want to do, guys?
Kind of a concept.
I'll move to have it done. What
the hell? The post is there, you said?
I'll second it.
Not for nothing. There's a post down.
It is up there.
Thanks for getting the boat moved, too, by the way. The letter got a boat moved, too. Thank you. You helped us getting a boat moved. Thank you.
Hope it wasn't his.
No, I know that, but it facilitated that.
Are there any other issues with it?
Do we have to do any borough ordinance?
You'd have to amend the borough ordinance. It's easy enough to do.
But do we have 10 mile signs in the closet?
You'd have to have DPW.
You got a 10 mile hour in the closet? He's got a black motion mouthguard. He can handle that.
You say there's more children up there?
Yeah, there's one at the very beginning. Dempsey's got two. Joe McFadden's got two.
Then put a sign up there that says that too.
Children play.
Children at play. Or
but they're only $35, you know, or whatever. Sign. So put it up there.
Yeah, I
agree. God forbid something happens.
So Councilman O'Neill has offered that we start that process. I'll second it.
To have an ordinance amendment to change the speed limit sign and also to authorize kids at play sign.
Yes.
Correct.
Now, there is no speed limit sign now, right? There's no speed limit sign there now.
Is there a post at 25 or nothing at all?
There's nothing posted. Yes, there's one posted on Lighthouse Road right before the turn onto the street.
So we'll put it where the handicap sign is now, making sure that all checks out and it's been, you know, vacated the proper way and all that good stuff.
But you don't, there's no ordinance for the children at play sign.
That's, you just put it up. That's not Mr. Hill will handle that.
Yeah, that's not a traffic regulation.
Mr. Conley?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Ms. Kane? Yes. Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
The next item is the World Trade Center Pieces 2.
I know Ms. Kane is talking about this.
This is very exciting. The Highlands Fire Department made application to the Port Authority in New York and New Jersey, and we were awarded a piece of 9/11 steel. So it is an actual artifact. It'll be in all of their, however they log everything. We find this very exciting. We don't know much more than that, other than it's artifact number 2011-6-27-2003. So I would assume it was recovered on June 27, 2003. So more to follow, but we're very excited about it in the 10th anniversary, I think. Hopefully we get it before then.
Right.
We just got the you've been awarded notice, so we'll go from there. We'll keep everybody posted.
Thank you, Ms. Kane.
Okay, the next item, I think it's our last item, the Original Oyster Mercantile and Liquor License Change of Corporate Structure Application.
I see Mr. Lentz is actually here. I see Sergeant Burton here and Chief Blewett. Who wants to, Chief, did you want to speak to this first? Or?
Sure.
Please.
The application process started back in March. In April, Mr. Lentz went and saw Detective Dobbins, who's conducting the investigation. Mr. Lentz was given a list of items to provide Detective Burton. After several weeks, he got back to Detective Dobbins. He got back to him in May, did not have all documents. There was an issue over who had interest or not. I guess I'll say he didn't. One person that's involved in the other license that does have an interest, he didn't want to include the application. Which isn't required. Detective Dobbins met with him in May. He set up another meeting in June to hopefully get the documents. That meeting was canceled by Mr. Lentz. On June 27th, finally, Mr. Lentz said that he was going to include his sister in the application process. We still have not gotten her information. July 14th, Detective Dobbins again spoke to Mr. Lentz. He wants to add someone else to the liquor license application. Now, the problem is he was allowed to work for 30 days on the original Oyster's liquor license. After that, he was given an extension, which is really past. It's gone beyond. He's not forthcoming with the documentation. We just can't let him go on forever.
What do we need then? What do we need concretely, Chief?
Detective Dobbins would have that.
Okay.
At this point, he's passed the extension that we gave him. And we still haven't gotten documentation from his sister. Okay. As an unknown third person.
Mr. Lentz, you want to speak to us, sir?
Yes, I would. I thought I was forthcoming with everything that he had asked me for. I filed the application for both the mercantile and the corporate chamber structure as required. Based on my corporation, I was taking over the original Oyster, was One Willow Street. We connected that One Willow Street, which included me, which was the sole applicant for taking over original Oyster. It was assumed that by virtue of my sister being my partner at the Inlet Cafe, and by virtue of myself writing a check from the Inlet Cafe, that she was should be automatically a partner in the new venture by virtue of me writing this said check. So this is how we got to this point. Detective Dobbins, I spoke to him numerous times, and we come to the conclusion that the simplest way to do it was just add my sister to the application and have her go through that process of that, which was about a month ago. And she had since, I assume, scheduled it, and it's either done or in the process of being done. And that's where we got to this. I don't know what...
Okay, Chief, could you do me a favor? Tomorrow, could you get a report from Officer Dobbins, Detective, I'm sorry, find out what we need, CC me on it, and Mr. Lentz, so we all know we're on the same page.
Keep in mind that in May, they were advised that his sister had to be part of the application process. At this point, I would provide that. I would like to give him until next month's council meeting. But if he needs extension or wants to operate, I think you should have to get back, come back here and explain why.
Well, my point is this: if we know what we need by tomorrow, let's say Friday.
He's been given that.
Okay, just put it in writing, please. Copy
step
myself.
Step by step.
If you don't mind, and then there'll be no room for error, no gray area.
Well, there's no gray area. I mean,
I don't doubt it.
Step by step by Detective Dobbins, and no gray area. I mean, I'll provide that.
Please.
There's no gray area.
And are you talking? You only talked about the Chuck and Oyster.
Yes.
Original Oyster.
Yes, as they did. Yes, the
TDA. Was there a new place
there? Are you talking about the mercantile license and or the liquor license as separate things, or are they connected? Somehow,
licenses are waiting for police approval.
Correct. So they're kind of intertwined, Mr. Lentz.
They are intertwined.
Yes, because they're both waiting for police approval.
Okay.
So if you didn't have, let's say for argument's sake, you didn't have a restaurant with a liquor license, you would just have a mercantile license. You would still need police approval by whatever ordinance we had at one point. It was fingerprinting, background. Now you happen to have both, so you need approval, but both are only waiting. That's the only thing they're waiting for, right? Everything else is passed? I think so, too. So we're going to get documentation no later than Friday in writing what you need. I'm going to be copying on it, and then if you can respond within 48 hours. So, either, hey, here's where it's at, here's where we're going, because we don't want this to go on. And I know you don't either. So
what license is he operating on right now, Joe?
He's operating on the original Oyster's license right now.
They gave him an extension so he could open for the season.
He was allowed because of court pressure changed to
operate. It was standard for holdings license.
Yes. That's the original Oyster is the training under. They're allowed to operate off that license for, I believe, 30 days, which they've done. And then
that 30 days ended where?
Oh, that ended back in June.
So from So if it, right now he has no license.
They're operating, well, we're given an extension.
You have the discretion to do that, correct, Chief?
No, that was done through the council.
No, but you...
No action was taken at this table.
All right, so I missed you in the council.
Administrative, where we gave him a temporary for the 30 days.
Okay.
I'm not aware of any action since then.
No, there
hasn't
been any
action
since then.
No.
Okay. So, I'm sorry, Ms. Mayor. I know I drafted or looked at a resolution back in May.
Correct. That was for the temporary.
That was for this one, for the temporary. And that was 30 days, and that's done.
That's expired.
That's done.
Yes. So they, frankly, shouldn't be serving alcohol.
Yes. Correct. So that's why we want to expedite this process. I mean, now, as of a week ago, they're adding a third person, third unknown person to this, which is going to, at best, force us to investigate this person, which is going to be at least another, I would say, month.
Okay. So
can we give a session now?
Well, that's obviously what we're going to have to do, and practically. Mr. Lentz, he's going to have some documentation in the next 48 hours, what they need, period, point blank. I don't want to be
absolutely
rude. I don't care what happened in the past. We just got to fix this moving forward. Will you be able to respond within 48 hours of that? When we can have the documentation we need, or that they already have it and you gave it to so and so on his time.
Yes, yes.
And then please keep me in the loop on CC so we know what's going on, because clearly we have to either get this done or not.
But if he's going to have to operate, we would have to give him right now.
Well, Joe and I talked via email. I think I copied everybody today that we would do a resolution. You would agree to 30 days, I believe. Did we put 30 days in there until the next meeting? I believe I put that in there because you copied back. You were okay.
Do we have a resolution right now?
No. I floated the idea. We're going to have Mr. Lentz come in, and the chief was going to be here and resolve what we needed and give the extension for the next council meeting.
Right. But doesn't he need it right now?
Oh, yeah. He's
going to work tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. No doubt it should be. That's why we put it on there. To have him in tonight, find out where we're at, and then by the next meeting, know what we're doing.
We actually would have to go retroactively
to the next expiration
days
of the first
expired, and then forward to the August 17th.
To midnight of that meeting.
But it's also, I'm hearing it's clear from what Joe is saying, that it still is not going to get done on that if this third person is brought in, and you haven't even started the investigation on that. Is that correct, Joe?
Well, like I said, there's actually two people. Robin Lentz still hasn't given us any information yet. And there's a third person who's, I guess, a chef. Which is chef. We have no information on either.
Let me ask you a question. Does it expedite the process at all? That is Robin on?
Yeah.
What is a lot of investigation has to do with finances. So it's going to be a lot of her finances are going to have to be investigated also.
Okay.
Basically, it's a money trail for where the money came from.
Okay, so even if you had everything on Friday, let's say arguments that you needed three documents. You had them all on Friday. You couldn't even have it done by the next August meeting?
I would check.
I'm not looking to jam you up either.
We may, but it would be pretty hard. I mean, because the list of documents is literally like 2 pages long.
Okay.
There's a lot of documents, like this one's going to tell you.
Okay.
There's a lot to it.
Two things we know. We're not trying to bypass anything. We also don't want to shut down a new business. And I know you helped me, and we appreciate that. Do we wait till the September meeting, the first September meeting? Because I think we're, not to put Joe on the spot, but if he gets the documents Monday, he may not be able to be done by August 17th.
Oh, I don't think, are you staying open through the winter, Mr. Lentz? At the original Western?
Yes.
Would the first meeting in September be out of the question to have it done? I believe it's the
7th. I don't think so. But I mean, at the very least, I think you should have to come back next meeting and explain.
Well, to be honest with you, in 48 hours, if we don't have an answer in, like, you know, say 96 hours, this is going to be a problem. I need to know what's going on here.
Yeah. I can have a list tomorrow. That's
perfect. Please. So would you be open to, Joe, we'll carry this to the first meeting in September? Because it sounds like we're going to need that time to get
things
done.
That's the first week, right?
I believe it's the 8th.
It's
the 7th. I apologize. It's the 7th. Labor Day's the 5th.
Okay, whatever
it is. But there's an awful lot of that rides on Mr. Lentz's shoulders. This has nothing to do with us. You
only the fact that we're sitting here.
This is us facilitating.
You exactly right. That's all it is.
Yeah, you have to do an awful lot of what Joe is saying, and you seem not to be getting it done as Joe's been trying to help to work with you. I hate to think that...
I've been communicating with Officer Dobson this whole time and providing any document he asked me for and cooperating in any way. And it came to light later in this investigation about my sister being attached to this. And that wasn't from the beginning. And then we just come to the conclusion, you know, recently, a month or so ago, the easiest way to do the deal was to put her on. And that's where we're at.
Doug, we're trying to help.
I understand.
Joe is listening to you, and he's shaking his head. So at this point, there's a big gap between you and Joe right now. And then you've got to close it.
I mean, we're as interested in getting rid of this as he is.
Correct. Well, you have to close this gap.
Let's put it out there. There wouldn't have been an extension without you giving it to us. And I asked you that personally because we didn't want to see a new business get shut down the busiest time of the year. There's no question about that. So, that being said, we need to get some movement in like the next 3-4 days. All right, Mr. Lentz? So he's going to send me a list and he's going to send it to you and copy me. Please respond within 48 hours of getting it.
You would ask me for it.
And we'll make the extension retro to whatever the date Mr. Hedefecker said to September 7th is the date. Is everybody okay with that?
Yes. Mr. Mayor, could I suggest that you do it one meeting at a time just to keep some pressure on? I sense the chief's frustration.
I don't doubt it, but I also don't want to set us up for failure in the fact that we have everything in 48 hours. We can't get it done anyway.
That's your decision.
You know what I mean? That's all just...
Right. So what I guess I'm hearing Mike say is at this point...
It's on the agenda for the next meeting to make sure everything's been put in place.
And then we automatically
let's review it at the next meeting.
Review it at the next meeting.
Extend it to the next meeting.
Right.
Based on the chief can just report that he's got cooperation and he's in the middle of his investigation.
Right.
And you extend it to the next meeting.
But for whatever reason, you're not here, you know, for whatever reason, just send us all a report email so we know what direction to go in.
Chief, can I ask you a question? Is this part of the requirements we have in our town that other towns don't have that some of the business people complain about, or is this just standard procedure?
Not with liquor. Not with liquor.
This is set forth in the statute.
Okay, so, yeah.
Mercantile, you're open to, you know, interpretations and what you want to do. Liquor is pretty standard.
So someone's going to offer a motion from June 1st through August, I think, 17th next week?
I think you're right, yeah.
I'll second.
Offered by Mayor Nolan, seconded by Mr. O'Neill. Mr. Conley?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Motion carries. Moving on to public portion.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Mr. Lentz. First person on the list, Carol Bucca. Ms. Bucca?
Carol Bucca, 330 Shore Drive. I'd like to address some things in the consent agenda. Authorizing the pension credit purchase for retiring employees.
We took it off.
It was taken off.
Oh, was it taken
we took that off, yes, ma'am.
Okay, because it might not be legal.
That's one of the reasons we took it off.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
And I also would like to point out that you have renewed all of the attorney's contracts, four of them, and the cost for 6 months might cover to $84,000.
Were we reviewing or were we renewing them or paying for services?
No, we're renewing them because they are old.